All right, this is KKFN and KKFN AC1, Longmont, Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are the drive. And we are, as Broncos country, at a fork in the road with the most important position on any football team. What would expectations look like with each path that the Broncos could take? Phil, it is the month of the NFL draft.
It's here.
It is here.
Uh-oh.
Where were you? What was your day-to-day life? What was your stomach doing? What is this? 6 years ago?
Yeah, was it six?
Yeah, 6 years ago, 2018. This time, 6 years ago, what is Philip Lindsay doing on the last 3 weeks leading up to the draft?
You know, talking to my agent a lot, trying to figure out things, trying to figure out where I stand. Am I going to get drafted? You know, of course I thought I was. I'm like, there's no way. I was top 10 in rushing in college football and in the Power 5. Like, I got to get drafted at some point.
Right.
And I'm looking at teams like, at the time, was like the Rams, right? And the Rams had like 14 picks. And I said, I have to be one of those picks.
Mm.
I have to be one of those picks.
Yeah.
And so it was like, where am I going to go? Fifth, sixth, or seventh? I knew I wasn't going to the first round, second round, third. I just knew it.
Yeah.
But fifth round, sixth round, seventh, like I've been here and I was talking to the Colts. All right. I was Houston would love me. Right. I went to dinner with Houston. All right.
Who was it?
It was
at dinner.
You know what? It was a lot of them were like the head scouts.
Okay.
A lot of them were the head scouts.
Was it just you as a player or were there a few players? It was just you?
Yeah, just an intimate dinner. And this was up there in Boulder. It was at Pasta J's.
Oh, Pasta J's.
Yeah, yeah. It was after my pro days and I would just have dinner with them. And, you know, it was a lot of them talking, blowing smoke, saying, like, I'm pushing for you. We're in there. We're in the draft rooms pushing for you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you where we're going to draft you, but you're on our draft board. So I'm getting excited.
Sure. How could you not, dude? How could you not?
Game time, baby.
At what point in the draft did it go long enough without getting drafted where your agent was like, hey, it's actually better now if you don't get drafted?
Yeah, see, this is the thing, Zach. The draft day, unless you're in the first, second round, maybe the third, it's the worst day of the year. The worst 3 days of the year. Because you're just sitting there asking yourself, why not you? Like, why can't I get drafted?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why? I'm better than that guy. Why?
Sure.
You know, and everybody thinks that.
Sure.
And so it's worse, man. Your dad, everybody's pacing back and forth. Your mom's in there kind of crying because she wants the best for your son. And you're not getting a call. And you are getting calls, Zach. You're getting calls. And they're telling you this in the fifth round, fourth round, third round. Hey, usually in the fifth, sixth, and seventh. Hey, Phil, this is so-and-so from the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
You know, we want you to come in as a undrafted free agent. Yo, we're in the fifth round still.
Oh, wow.
I'm thinking I'm getting a call to get drafted.
Right.
Oh, geez.
So your phone's ringing. Yes. You're like, yo, this could be it.
This is it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm getting calls and, hey, man, like, we're trying, but if we can't, we want you as a free agent. Like, what are you calling me for? Call me in the seventh at the end of the seventh round.
Right.
Or in the fifth round.
Right.
Right? So it's a bad day for a lot of players. It's a bad day, man. But then my agent calls sometimes and say, hey, man, it may be better for us not to get drafted. Because now we get to pick our destination.
Right.
All right, yeah, we're not going to get the money, but you're not going to get the money if you're a seventh round pick. You
right.
get like $100,000, and that's before taxes. So you're not getting, you're pretty much, you can go now. I've seen unrestricted free agents or undrafted players get higher signing bonuses than a seventh round pick.
Mm.
So it really doesn't matter at that point. Now you get to pick your destination and what better fits you to make that team, because that's all that matters now.
Right.
And so you start to have these conversations. It's a bad conversation. You're mad, but it's reality.
How long did it take before you were over it?
I was pissed. I was pissed the whole entire time I was there with the Denver Broncos.
Still pissed.
Every time I stepped in that building, why did you guys not, and I didn't say you guys, you know what I said, you know I like to cuss. Like, why did you guys not draft
Yeah,
me?
And you're thinking of John Elway in your head?
Yeah, I'm thinking of John.
Yeah.
And John's nowhere to be found. So it's like, yo, like, what's going on? And then you do well, and John still isn't nowhere to be found because he's not at the building. So it's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a process, man.
Well, I love going in the Wayback Machine with you because it ended up working out to a degree that was actually historical. So it's not like a pain point or too much of one looking back at it.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man. You have to have somebody that does it so that people that are in your shoes feel like they can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
It ended up being a great story. The Broncos, what they do this time in three and a half weeks, I mean, it's... Yesterday, we called it a tipping point of the franchise. If things break right in the first round, it could literally change the trajectory of this organization. You get it wrong, things could get worse. Things could get worse. It is not some sort of birthright because Sean Payton's here or because the incredible legacy of the Broncos past that you get it right in the future. And give me a percentage out of 100 that you believe the Broncos are walking away from the first round with a quarterback.
I'm going to go with 100%.
100%?
100%.
Okay.
This is the time. Okay? Sean has spoke out about how he's this guru. Sean has spoke out about how he's going to make, you know, he makes better decisions pretty much, and other play or other GMs, other coaches are not like that. Pretty much, I don't want to put that in his mouth, but
sure,
it's pretty much summed up like that. So now it's like, go out there and show us. Go out there and show us that you mean business, that you fell in love with the quarterback, and that this is our franchise quarterback for the Denver Broncos, because we all been waiting for this moment. We all been waiting for this moment.
What kind of, so let's just assume that that's what they do. They draft a quarterback in the first round. Would your expectations change if they took one at 12 or if they moved up and grabbed one of the a big four, and expectations like for the season as it relates to wins and losses?
For me, no. For you, what you thinking?
I think it might slightly change, not in terms of wins and losses, because I think no matter what young quarterback they draft, they're going to struggle.
Some growing pains.
But I will have in my own mind like a higher bar in terms of the regularity that we see flashes from this guy. If the Broncos move up into the top four and we don't see, and we go, you know, a month without, and it's just bad football, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, did we just mortgage our future from a kid who can't play? You pick at 12, I know he'll be the fifth guy. And although I won't expect big changes in the wins and losses, because I think it could be a long year for both parties, I'll just be holding it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I'll be holding it to just a little bit higher of a standard if Sean Payton is so passionate and so convicted to move all the way up into the top four. Man, and he's such a guru, and he goes and gets his guy. I'll just have a internal, like, little bit harsher of a judgment. Nothing crazy in terms of wins and losses, just what it looks like quarter by quarter, half by half, game by game, month by month.
I guess since you said that, because I know in the past I said no. The only thing that I'll be harsher on is, how do we move up? We have to give away some things.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We have to give away draft capital.
Yeah.
We may have to give away one of our best players if it's up to Zach Bye.
Oh.
Okay? Oh. So let's just put that through there. That's going to make me mad. If you go out and do all that, and the quarterback ends up not being who we think and thought he was, then I'm going to be upset because now I'm holding it to you. So I guess I was looking at it in the standpoint of, if Sean doesn't move no matter what and picks a quarterback in the first round, you're telling me no matter what that you got the guy that you love because you didn't move up to him because you knew that it was going to fall to you, and that you're the guru and you're going to change this kid into a franchise quarterback and he's going to be here for a very long time. But if you move up now that you said that, Zach, and you give away draft capital and you give away somebody that everybody loves, that kid better be the one.
Yeah, he better be. He better be. And if he is the one, truly, you should start seeing signs of it pretty early. Not that you're going to win a bunch of games, because, again, winning and seeing the signs of that guy, they can be separate. Even though Peyton was throwing interceptions, you saw enough there. It's like, oh, C.J. Stroud right out of the gate. Matt Ryan right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't always work like that. Josh Allen there in Buffalo, he's pretty good. Did not show a lot of that first year. It's like, no, I didn't hear anyone talking about after Josh Allen's first year, the Broncos should have drafted him. That came later. So it's different for everyone. But if you move up into the top four, I think you should start seeing those signs of like, okay, yeah, Broncos lost, but damn, did you see those two throws? I think you should be able to point to stuff like that with more regularity. But I'll say this too, Phil. This idea that, oh, Sean's got nine lives and he's got this five-year contract, I think this is the one and only time we see Sean Payton. If they go and draft a first-round quarterback, this is it. You're not going to see Sean Payton draft multiple first-round quarterbacks. This is it. Because
no, why is that, though? Is it Sean or is it Greg Penner? Why will this be the only time that we see a quarterback? If he drafts a quarterback in the first round, why would this be the only time?
Sean's going into year two, right?
Yeah.
Year two of a five-year contract?
Yep.
If you get it right, it should be the only time because that guy's here for years to come.
Yeah.
If you get it wrong, even if you get it wrong, that guy's going to get probably 2 years, maybe three.
Yeah.
Do you think if he misses it, he's never done this before. He's about to do something he has never, ever, 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 ever done. Do you
sound
think,
like a high school kid? I've never done this before, like a little high school relationship.
Yeah. Yeah,
so he's new to it.
Do you have a story to tell?
No, I'm just saying. Like, he's new to it.
He's new to it. He's never done this. If it goes badly, do you think he's going to do that again? He's never even played a rookie other than one game during COVID.
Yeah.
If he goes down this road and drafts a young rookie quarterback in the first round and it goes wrong, as humans, I think we have a tendency to overcorrect anyway. Broncos hire Josh McDaniels, young, first-time coach, he's a disaster. Who do they fall back to? John Fox, older, more experienced.
Yeah.
They hire Vance Joseph, first time, never done it. It goes really bad. Who's the next coach? Oh, it's Vic Fangio. It's kind of like the opposite. I know Vic didn't have head coaching experience, but had 30 years of coaching in the NFL. And hire Nathaniel Hackett. Goes terribly. Who do you hire? A 16-year veteran because you feel just
comfortable.
Man,
we're on a pattern, man.
Right? Right?
We're on a pattern.
Seriously. And I think that if this goes wrong for Sean Payton, if it goes right, you got it right. You're not drafting another guy in the first round anyway. But if it goes wrong, I don't think you'll see Sean Payton jump back into the first round and start that cycle all over again when he's, what, 64 at the time?
Yeah.
So I think this is it. I think this is it for Sean.
Well, here's my motivational speech for Sean then.
Oh.
If Sean, if you're listening, get comfortable being uncomfortable because that's what's getting ready to happen here. You're going to be very uncomfortable because now you have a rookie quarterback that you're going to have to groom, that you're going to have to be patient with, that's going to go through some bad times.
That patient word.
Patience is a hell of a word, ain't it? That's hard. I'm still learning it.
Me too. And it's easier to talk about than actually do on a day-to-day, week-by-week basis.
Right.
When that guy that you're having patience with, you wear his losses.
Yeah.
Like, you're responsible for him and his a future and his success. And when he doesn't have it, you take some of that heat, some of that blame. And does he have the stomach to do this over the next 2 to 3 years? He's never done it, ever.
And that's why, Zach, that's why. Why would you give up this draft capital that you need? You need it to build around whoever you get. I know that you're going to have to do something to move up to the fourth if it's J.J. McCarthy. But this is where I'm starting to think, like, is it? Or is it somebody that we're not really thinking of as much? Okay? A Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., or seeing who falls. Somebody they know more than we do about who may fall. And so it's like, are they willing to give up everything that they need to be successful, because they need those draft picks. They need Pat Surtain to help out with that defense. But if you give it all up, you can't put that kid out there and say, go make this into wine. Go make water into wine. That's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, no, it's not. You're going to have to support him. And you're going to have to, what's supposed to make Sean different and special, we should see those attributes over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
That differentiates him from most others. Right, he's a borderline Hall of Fame coach.
Mm.
If things break right for him here in Denver, he'll go to the Hall of Fame.
I feel like we're talking about Russ.
I know.
I feel like we're talking about Russ,
Phil,
right now.
Those two guys have more in common than they would like to admit.
They really do.
They're legacy guys. They were both second act guys.
Yeah.
They both lack awareness at times. They both have an undying confidence in themselves that they will literally tell you about. I mean,
is that why it didn't work out here? Do you think that is? Like, they looked at each other, and it's like, I'm looking at a mirror, And opposites attract, that's what they say.
Yeah.
And two of the same kind of like, they don't mesh.
I think there's something to it.
You know, like.
I think there's something to it.
Like, literally, if you didn't say Sean Payton or Russell Wilson, and we just started going on this conversation, I wouldn't know who we were talking about.
Yeah, right. If you just bleeped out the name, yes. Right? Yeah.
I'm like, are we talking about Russ?
There's definitely something to that. What would your expectations be? So I asked you about a rookie quarterback. If they go the Jarrett Stidham route, which is entirely possible.
Yeah.
To think otherwise is naive. Okay?
Yeah.
Say, do I want the fifth quarterback in this class, or do I just want to rock with Stidham and draft the best positional player? And when we had that conversation yesterday, when I was asking you what's the most likely of these four options, from what our boys behind the glass said, the biggest support on the RamosLaw.com text line was just to draft a positional player at 12. And that's what most of our response did. And maybe we can throw it out there on social media for a poll or something. But if it is Stidham, what are your expectations for the 2024 Denver Broncos?
That we go to the playoffs. That Sparky takes us to the playoffs. Because I'm tired of sitting here, okay, you know, for Sean, you got rid of the guy that was supposed to be the problem, Russell Wilson.
Yep.
You kept the other guy that was half the problem, George Payton.
Mm.
Okay? You put a lot of money into Stidham, who has only played in four games.
Paid him $10 million, by the way.
$10 million.
Yeah, when he had just played in three at the time.
Then you went on.
Was it two, actually?
Yes, and then you went on the podium and said, we just need a spark. Well, if that's the case for this year, there should be a spark every single game. Because you're telling me that man gives you the best chance to win, you better be in the playoffs. You're one game away from the playoffs, and Russell Wilson was your quarterback majority of the year.
Right.
You better be in the playoffs now.
See, man, as much as you and I disagree on stuff.
You just don't like Russ.
You're right. I don't like him. I find him very unlikable on game day, and then it gets worse on the off days.
Hello. What's up, Russ? Yeah, I'm on the phone right now with Russ.
Yeah,
we're going to see you here. You're coming into town.
You know why I know you're not talking to him? He wouldn't give you your number. He wouldn't give,
right.
He wouldn't give his number. Call
you're
my
right.
manager. Call his manager.
Oh,
no, we don't, Russ. We don't got a deal. You took the deal and you ran.
Oh, my gosh. As much as you and I disagree,
yeah,
we agree on the Stidham. If you go with Jarrett Stidham, who you prioritize, day number one of free agency, $10 million, first day of free agency. That was a first wave move.
Mm.
You said he's trending up to be a starter. You believe in him. You're right. You were one game out of the playoffs with a guy who hurt your chances of winning. That's Sean Payton.
Mm.
Sean Payton saying that.
Yeah.
You move on not because of anything else other than it gave you a better chance to win. So if you went into last year saying, I'm going to be pissed off if this isn't a playoff team, all right, and then you move on from a guy who hurt your chances in that department and you still ended up one game shy of the playoffs, is it that crazy in the National Football? This is the Denver Broncos in the National Football League with a $100 million coach who gets to handpick his next quarterback. If that guy is Jarrett Stidham, you put all that together, Go at least, hey, I'll be generous. At least win more games than you lose. Produce the first winning season for the first time, 2016.
Which would be 9-7.
Nine and eight. It'd be 9-8
okay.
Now. Yeah.
I get that mixed up.
Yeah, it's still new to me too. So, but it's like that's the bar. Because if you're just gonna be a losing operation again and you still don't have the quarterback position solved, and you actually take a step back after moving on from the guy you said you couldn't win with.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? So you and I actually agree. Playoffs, winning season, those should be in play conversations if they hashtag stay with Stiddy. And we'll see.
Uh-oh.
We'll see.
You got a hashtag for him.
Have to. We'll see. In terms of a positional player, if they don't go quarterback, what do you think would upset Broncos country the most? If they stepped up to the podium, it's like the 12th pick, the Denver Broncos select blank position.
Yeah.
Would Broncos country be like, oh my God, what are we doing?
If they go something like Andrew Snottenberg. Okay, because that's usually a lineman name.
Okay, so like a lineman?
Yeah, like Andrew Snottenberg. left tackle when we already have Garrett Bowles? And it's like, oh, we're going to get rid of Garrett. It's
supposed to be a loaded tackle class.
Yeah.
I mean, that. But I'm with you. That would be like.
We got a good tackle.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. We got a good tackle.
I agree. You should not be drafting a tackle in this round. You just played Mike McGlinchey.
Yeah.
He's locked in for at least two more years. And then Bowles is serviceable enough to move forward.
So, they're already locked and loaded. The only thing they could probably go get is a center.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You can't draft a center in the first round. That would drive me crazy.
In a center, Snottenberg.
He better be like, who's the greatest center of all time? I don't even know. But you can't.
Tom Nalen.
Yeah, there you go.
Tom Nalen, Tommy.
Well, if it's Tom.
But nobody thought Tom was going to be Tom was.
No.
And I got to know Tom well because he coached us back in high school. He was our offensive line coach when I was at South.
Wait a second.
Yeah. I think he would be doing the show here, and then he would coach during he got off the show.
Were you on the team?
I was on the team.
Okay, so he wasn't doing the Tommy at that time? No, I think that was like 2000 and I want to say 19.
Tommy was here at the fan. Yeah, so then Tom, like, he was just at home then.
I got along great with Tom. I'm going to be honest with you. I got along great with Tom Nalen.
You would never thought he had money. You would never thought.
No.
He was going out of his way. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he was a great center because he always had the same socks. Like, somebody knitted his socks.
Oh, dude. He'd come in here with his painting shirt. His painting shirt had holes in it, paint all over it.
That's Tom.
That was Tom.
That's my boy.
Me and him got along great. All right. Okay. Fun conversation, relevant conversation. We're barreling down the road. It's about to get real around here. You got playoffs starting on the NBA side and the NHL side in the next 3 weeks. You got the NFL draft in the next 3 weeks. The Rockies exist still. So it's good. It's fun times. All right. We can probably put one particular Denver sports topic to bed after what we saw last night. We'll tell you why coming up next. So come on and diggity-jack yourself before you wreck yourself. Don't do that. Instead of wrecking yourself, join us on Friday to potentially wreck yourself at the home opener party live from the rooftop at El Patio, Denver. Guys, this is right across the street from Coors Field. All right, Stoke and Josh are going to be hanging out. They're walking you up to first pitch at 2 o'clock. And then we're going to take over and rock with you all the way till 6 p.m. If you have tickets to the game, come say hi before you go in. And if you don't have tickets to the game, come hang out with us. They'll have the game on. The music will be pumping. The drinks will be flowing. The sun is going to be out in a way.
It's beaming.
Dude, it's going to be like 72 and sunny.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. This is what we live for, man. The nice days out. Blue skies. All right. Not a cloud in sight. I love it.
It's a beautiful week. The weather may turn maybe by the very end of the week or the weekend, but we don't have to worry about that right now on opening day, or the home opener, I should say, not opening day, but it's going to be a scene, all right? It's going to be a scene. I was telling our program director, Amanda, who moved here from the Los Angeles area this past year, and I'm like, no, this is not just like, because opening day is, or home opener opening day, it's a little bit different all around the country. Here in Denver, the party is the show. It's not like just about the game. Some places it's, you know, the bars will be busy around the stadium, but not like here in Denver. It's unique here.
Yeah, this gives a lot of people a chance to be college kids again.
Sure. Right. Yeah, I like that.
Get out there, have fun. They're going to take off work. They're going to be with their friends, go back to the old times. Zach, you're 50 years old right now. Back in the day when you're 21.
I'm 37. I'm 37. But you know who is 51 years old and is going back to college? Oh. Your boy Warren Sapp.
Oh.
Keep an eye on him on campus.
Big Sappy.
Keep an eye on him on campus. All right. He's got nowhere to stay right now.
He doesn't.
He's like, hey, help me out. Where should I live?
He might be in the dorms.
You're 51. Can't you figure that out yourself? Instead of soliciting ideas from the public, will Warren Sapp end up in a dorm? Because he's literally going back to class. This is its own little documentary. This is its
what'd
own
you
little.
What did it remind you of? What movie was
Billy
it?
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
It's like Warren Sapp goes back to school. What does that look like?
And Warren Sapp got a little mohawk. Like, he's ready.
Hey, he may need to tell his roommate, hey, man, I need a room for about 30 minutes.
Dude.
He ain't having no roommate.
Hey, just keep an eye on him, all right? Just keep an eye on him up there.
Oh. My man gonna be doing the Shadur.
Dude, the Shadur.
Dude, the Shadur.
Dude, the Shadur. Oh, my gosh.
The Shadur Sanders.
Don't step on the buffalo. Oh, my gosh. All right. Can we put a particular Denver sports topic to bed after what we saw last night? This idea of a potential goalie controversy. Eustace Annan in rough second period. Avs lose 4-1 to a bad Columbus team. This is the second time in about a week they've lost to a bad team. It was a Montreal last week. Both games they only mustered a goal. How big of a deal is last night to you as we're thinking that Annan could be, you know, coming on and actually pushing Georgiev?
Yeah. So as a whole, I'm not worried about it as a whole, right? Because we had the All-Stars. But we're talking about goalie play. It just shows us how much Georgiev means to the team right now and that he can't have emotional collapses, you know, right now. We're 7 games away from starting the playoffs. You're out there throwing the puck, trying to take your jock strap off, throw it into the stands, take your skate off and try to cut somebody with it, like Happy Gilmore.
Another Adam Sandler reference here in this segment.
You know? But, no, right now, Georgiev is the guy.
He is.
And we're going to need for him to step up.
He is. And in terms of, and this is why it's concerning, of course, is because through an NHL lens, like league-wide lens, Georgiev is not like a guy, like a true guy. He is just kind of a guy.
He's just our guy.
If that makes sense. He's not like a true dude. He's just a guy. And but he's ours. And I do wonder, though, once we get into the playoffs, if this is going to rear its head like it did 2 years ago, even on a cup run, we were debating on which goalie should start. And whether at the time it was Darcy Kemper or Pavel Francouz. And I don't know, man. I don't feel great about it because actually what's in common, and I don't feel great about the Goldie situation in a vacuum, not about the Avs in general, because I think they can play well enough to actually overcome it. But what these two losses this past week to a bad Columbus team, to a bad Montreal team, is both goaltenders in those games stood on their head.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the Avs are way better. No one would disagree. But you get into the wrong series with a goaltender who's playing out of his mind, and it's not fear, it's not doubt, it's just like a little nerves of like, I want this so bad for this team and us in this town, and to win 2 out of 3, and even just get there. I mean, just getting there, I think would, and we'll talk more about what actually the floor of our expectation is tomorrow, but.
Well, we all know a great goalkeeper can steal a series.
Totally, totally.
We don't have a goalkeeper that can steal a series.
No, Phil.
And Drew and you both were saying.
Phil, I don't know if we have a goaltender that can steal a game.
See, and that's the issue right there. Not even one game where we know that Georgiev could stand on his head and just bring the boom and say, you know what, he's the reason why we won the game. He made them, you know, great, great saves. But it can't be all on Georgiev because when I look at this team, it's built around speed. It's built around scoring. It's built around the all-stars. But the defensive side of it, the special teams at times, it's not doing well, especially the defense, right? And I know it's because we're so, like, fast-paced and we're wanting to score, and it's leaving us a little bit naked on the other side. But that's something that's going to have to be corrected if we're going to go far in these playoffs.
Yeah, and it's a fair question, like, about going back to the goaltending. Like, can you think of a game where it's like, Georgiev was the reason that they won. Man, they didn't have it that night. But, man, Georgie just bailed them out. Stood on his head for 3 periods. I can't think of a game.
I would say, and Drew, get on this and correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, you too. The best game Georgiev has had was going against Igor on the other side with the Rangers. Yes. Hands down.
That was really good this past week. Yeah, in terms of recent memory, that one sticks out. Good
like
reference.
That one I was excited for.
Yeah.
I was like, man, if we got this type of play from him every single night in the playoffs, we're winning.
Right.
He was doing some great things, some amazing saves. But it can't be because he has a chip on his shoulder for that one game because of who's on the other side.
Right.
It has to be because I want to make sure that we win this game.
Yeah, and he did have that chip. He was Igor's backup. Avs trade for him, trade a second-round pick, and there was some extra meaning to that one. But how about this? Like, all this firepower, in the last four games, the Avs have scored two goals or less in three of the last four games. Mm. Just something to keep an eye on as we move forward. The next time that we will see this hockey team play will be not until Thursday evening. Thursday evening, so a little rest here within the schedule. They will travel to Minnesota and play a rival Wild team at 6 o'clock on Thursday evening. All right, we have breaking news in Denver sports. Hang tight. We'll deliver it coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right, we have breaking news in Denver sports. We'll get to the Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing, here in just a second. But we have learned here in the last handful of minutes that Jamal Murray once again is ruled out tonight.
Mm.
There is 7 games left in the season.
Yeah.
After tonight, Phil, it's just 6. Jamal is running out of runway to build up that the stamina and recalibrate that basketball callus, and the playoff intensity is about to get even crazier. And it's not time to start worrying, but it's like, starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, you said earlier, Zach, you said you are a 5.7 right now with Jamal Murray.
Yes.
Now hearing this news right now.
6.
Real time.
6.
Okay, you're at a 6.
I'm at a 6. I'm at a 6 of concern level. I'm not freaking out. Man. Yeah, you're
still
at a 7.
At 7, man.
Okay. Will Peterson, DenverSports.com. Where are you at with this conversation here?
Yeah, no, it's really fascinating, guys, because it's now bleeding into 19 days, most likely, until game one, because you'll get that week off. Either the Monday or Tuesday, they'll play 18, 19 days. So you need Jamal Murray out there on the court. But we're talking about as few games remaining is as many as he's missed.
Right.
So I'm a 6.5. I'll meet you guys right in the middle.
Okay.
It's definitely a legitimate story. And the whole, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. When he missed that first game in Portland, nothing to see here. Because Jokic missed that game, too.
That's right.
And then they come back, and Jokic plays, and Jamal doesn't.
That was like Memphis?
Memphis.
Yeah, okay.
And every single time now.
Yeah.
And you watch Michael Malone in his pregame presser, he's kind of getting more and more dismissive about it. When he got asked before the Cleveland game, he's, no, of course he's not playing. Like, it wasn't even we're coming right down to the wire with it. He almost had this demeanor that, like, why are you guys even asking me
like
if he's playing?
Like, he kind of slipped up a little bit and kind of showed his hand of, like,
serious. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and sort of asking the reporters, like, that was on your radar? And it's like, Mike, it's on our radar every day if this guy's playing. And I think he really wanted to temper expectations. We may not see him again until game one.
Mm. Which is wild. And the Rays, we don't know the definitive. Is there one singular reason why he's missing? Because it's the shins, it's the ankle. But then the knee pops up. When did we see a knee setback? I watch every single game. I don't remember a knee setback. So what is this? Is it fluid? Is it fluid in the knee? Is it
scar tissue?
Yeah, is it something that I don't know? But whatever it is, this wasn't on our radar 2.5-3 weeks ago. So okay. The Nuggets should win tonight regardless. I mean, this is a bad San Antonio team. So in terms of wins and losses, not worried about that. It should only help improve their chances to finish with the number one seed. Currently, they're a half game back out of that slot with Oklahoma City right in front of them by a half game and Minnesota right behind them by a half game after the Timberwolves like blew a game to the Chicago Bulls, I think it was. All right. Well, that being said, Jamal not playing tonight again. How or what, rather, are you watching for tonight? Could be anything in sports or really beyond. Mr. Philip Lindsay, we'll start with you.
Yeah, look, as much as I give the Colorado Rockies stuff, they're playing right now. So I think I'm going to catch some of that game just to watch it, just to just see what's really going on. Try to help them out. Maybe I'll go out there and throw a couple pitches, you know?
okay.
But after that,
I think it's Freeland on the mound, right?
Yeah. They've given up more runs than they have outs. But we don't have to talk about that. The old day, never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, they're already down 2-0 in the bottom of the first.
I mean, it's so bad.
No.
It'll be 9-0 by the time you get home, bro. That's what you're watching?
I'm still going to stand up for the Colorado Rockies, baby. Wait, what'd you say, KJ? What'd you say? You said that they're going to, in April here, they're going to have a winning.
Oh, he did say that.
I said by the end of April, they'll be around 500.
That's not what you said.
I turned it on KJ. But I'm going to watch that and then, of course, see what the Nuggets do.
Will, real quick, before we get the rest of these guys and what they're watching for tonight. Earlier in the show, I said, look, if you're hoping that the Rockies are a viable Major League Baseball team at some point, you should actually be rooting for, because Dick Monfort's not going to sell the team. He's going to pass it down. And what you have to hope is that his eldest son, Walker, who's being groomed right now, he is a, what is he? I think he's a vice president of, where is this? He's like vice president of a corporate partnerships, all right? What you have to hope is that when this thing gets passed down, and it will get passed down, not sold, is that the son just sees things different than the dad, which happens a lot in life. And I think that's the one, I guess, hope. And Monfort's now in his 70s. So maybe this happens sooner than later. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we don't know Walker Monfort from Adam. I don't know the guy's style at all. I've never done business with him, never talked to him.
No.
We'll see. But his dad has embraced being the villain. And I'm sad to say that, but I'm at the point now where I think Dick Monfort likes being the villain in this town.
You do?
I do. Yeah. Those quotes to Troy Rank last week sort of set me over the edge.
Which one stuck out and
did
that?
The absolutely absurd one that they've tried everything and could never need outside help. And after Jeff Breidich quit, they had a lot of people want to come help. And he said, nope, we've already tried it. We don't need any help. That had me like a cartoon character with steam coming out of my ears.
Yeah, I did not like that quote either. He's like, yeah, people come tell you how to win in altitude. We've tried everything. It's like, I don't know. Have you tried? Have you truly tried? I don't know. Drew Spivak behind the glass. What do you got? What are you looking for tonight?
Well, I was going to go with the Rockies and Cubs tonight, but since Phil stole it, I'll switch gears and I'll go to the Nuggets. Victor Wembanyama coming to town tonight, the number one overall pick. I'm excited to see him. I didn't get to watch him the first time the Nuggets played him, so I'm excited to see how he does tonight. I'm assuming Aaron Gordon will probably be the one guarding him, so I kind of want to see how that plays out tonight.
That dude has surpassed the hype. He is so good, you guys. He's averaging over 21 points a game. He's averaging 10.5 rebounds a game. He's leading the Spurs, not just in blocks, but in steals. Like, he's the league leader in blocks. He's averaging 3.5 blocks a game as a rookie. He doesn't even know how to play the game yet, and true, like the chess game of it. He's 20. This dude is an animal. I like that one, Drew. Kamaje Granderson behind the glass. What do you got?
Listen,
we're listening.
Zach told us about a show yesterday called I Love You, Now Die, the documentary on HBO Max.
Oh.
I got through part one. Me and him talked about it off air. Just wild. Just absolutely crazy. So tonight I'm going to finish part two.
Oh, my God.
So I can just kind of wind down, and then I can turn to my wife like I did last night and be like, did you just see
you're going to do
happened?
No winding down.
You're going to be woke up in your bed looking at your wife like, yo, don't be trying to kill me now. Don't try to tell me to kill myself.
And if you missed it, it's a documentary about a really sad, morbid story from over a decade ago now where two high school teens. Will, did you hear this about this at all? It's two high school teens. It was a national story at the time. They go to different schools. They meet in the summer. They date. The one kid's depressed. And then the girlfriend, over a period of time, just is relentlessly convincing him to commit suicide.
Mm.
And he does it. And he does it. And then it goes up to the Supreme Court of, is she culpable for murder? and you go back and over the story. Now, you got to be into true crime stuff, and I am.
Yeah, sounds awful.
It's an awful human
sure,
story.
It's an awful
but
story,
it's a documentary,
but also,
you know, on HBO Max that is gripping, to say the least.
Yeah. I'll fire up a rerun of, like, Outer Banks instead.
You're not like that? You don't want a knife in your stomach before you go to bed?
I'm good, bro. I'm good.
All right. We're going to leave it there for now. We are out of time. Guys, thanks for making us a small part of your Tuesday. Phil, if you're up for it, we can do it again tomorrow.
Let's get it, man.
All right. Shout out to Drew and KJ behind the glass. We step aside. It's Denver Sports Tonight coming up next.